This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Hey, City Washington.
Hey. Hey, girl.
Hey, what's going on?
You look great.
Do I?
I mean, you look like...
I broke out on my forehead, and I'm like, I think it's an allergic reaction to something. Someone gave me some free products. And you know when somebody give you something for free, you're like, did it not work on you? What happened?
I don't use free products on my face.
I fucking did it. And it's like Drunk Elephant, which is, it's really expensive.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good.
Bitch, it might not be for me.
It might not be for you.
And it's like I'm breaking out underneath my forehead, and it's just like, it
hurts.
Yeah,
Pink Elephant might be for wealthy white women,
no,
not poor
drunk
black girls.
Elephant.
Whatever. It might not be for you.
Yeah, so I'm
Is that why you're wearing sunglasses?
Yes,
because your forehead is pimply?
Yeah.
We can see your forehead. You're just throwing a visor on.
I'm like, you don't need to see bags and my breakout on my forehead. You're going to get one.
Bags and breakouts.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the name of your album. Bags and Breakouts.
How are you, Marie? How you doing? You look very winter, fall-ish. I don't know.
Thank you so much. She's not wearing pants.
You surely aren't.
You see this? I ain't got no pants.
Are you
on.
Coming for your home or somewhere else?
Well, I came from home, made a quick stop,
clearly.
Had some breakfast, came across the street for the podcast.
Are you serious?
And here I am.
Wow.
So you felicitated.
So you got some dick before the fucking
Sis,
podcast?
I said breakfast. I didn't
Which
say
can
dick.
Desayuno can also be dick.
It was breakfast with a side order of dick. It was some home fries. I'm doing really well. I still don't have any money, but I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This week I was an expert at almost getting Selena'd. I almost got bitty bitty bum bumped.
Oh my God.
You're laughing, but I have a stalker fan situation and it's bad. And maybe I'm being dramatic, but
she is definitely being dramatic, but I'm here for it. Give your Lifetime channel story. Do
sis,
it.
Let
Do
me
it.
Centric. Mm-hmm. Let me give the story and then we'll see if it's Lifetime or Centric.
Okay.
BET After Dark. So
the dude is greasy and Haitian. So it's
He's not Haitian. Don't do that. Don't put that on him. don't give us that. We don't claim him. We don't recognize. I think he's just regular black, sis. He's
simply black.
Simply black, mm-hmm. as are you. So he's just diet African American.
Uh-huh.
So this man sent me a message last week and was like, hey, I used to listen to you on the radio all the time. Your show is really great. I was on the radio a year and some change ago, right? Haven't even done the show this year. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. He's like, I'm getting ready to pitch a show about the underground comedy scene. Would love to include you in this. And I was like, bruh, you gotta go through my manager, you know? Because I have that.
Right.
And so my manager was like, he was being very vague. It was very random. We don't know him. And I was like, please make this go away. And she was like, oh, thank God. I'm glad you don't want to do this. Because, you know, she'd be looking at me funny.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, no, we have to pass on this. I had a show on Tuesday. He says, the host of the show hit me up and was like, oh, this guy's coming to shoot Marie tonight. And maybe he can shoot everybody else's sets too. And I was like, who's coming to see me? I'm sorry, shoot me with what? And
he literally shoot you.
Excuse me, pardon, no, excuse me. And he was like, oh, this guy said he was coming to shoot you for this pilot that he's shooting. This pitching, and he said your manager said it was cool. I was like,
first of all, he lying.
I said, let me go ahead and text 10%. I said, hey sis, you said this dude can come shoot me, and she was like, absolutely not. I told him to go away. Blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. He came to my show. Lucky for me, I'm professional black, and I was late to the show. But he got there early.
Mm-hmm.
He had a friend. They sat in the front row. They set a camera up, and the guy was like, hey, the host was like, hey, you can't shoot Marie. Like, we emailed you today and told you couldn't do it. Her manager said it wasn't cool. he was like, I'm not here for Maria. I'm here for you, to the host. And I was like, that's not what you had said to me. And he was like, you're making my comics uncomfortable. You have to go. And the dude got aggressive. And I was like, because I was talking to you about it when it was all going down. And Sydney was like, go to the show early. Go up first. Leave. If I had gotten there early, he would have seen me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I got there late. I had a hat on. My hair
I was trying to set you up.
Sydney in this manner in cahoots.
Oh, my God. I am trying to get you Selena.
I can't die at a show that has less than 20 people at it. Like, I right. can't. That's not how I die. Also, didn't even have my good panties on. Like, everything was not set up for me to die that day. Right. And so I get to the show late. I'm, like, hiding. The collar's all the way up to my eyebrows. Like, I'm afraid because I don't know what this person looks like. And this person's been listening to me on the radio for a year, might listen to this bomb ass podcast. Mm-hmm. And these people think that they know you. And anyway, he's
86.
he's like in his 40s, like this little black dude with muscles. I don't know, sis. I don't know. I didn't meet him.
I saw the pictures and I was like, that could literally be anybody on the train.
Honestly.
That could be anybody and everybody.
Then when they told him to leave, he was like, I came all the way from New Jersey. I was like, oh, my God.
God, he's from New Jersey. He has nothing to live for, so he's definitely ready to go. Live in New Jersey?
That's not funny. Anyway, she might not make it through the end of the year. So cherish these episodes.
Oh, my God.
Sydney, what were you an expert in this week? Besides giving me bad advice about my stalker.
Speaking up, you know, you got to speak up. You got to tell people how you feel.
Right.
I was in an Uber pool and, you know, I'm starting off wrong. I'm in an Uber pool. You don't really get to say what you want and what you need in a pool.
No.
Like, you sharing that shit.
Yeah.
Like, you budgeting. So you going to get budget service.
It's a bougie ass bus.
It is. So I'm there and the driver, one, is playing Christian Mingle Rock. Yeah, that's not for everybody, sir.
I love him.
It sound like, you know, like some J-Lo / Christian / what do you call it?
I'm here for a J-Lo Hillsong collab.
Waiting for Christ. Whoa.
Okay, I'm here for that. Waiting for Christ. Uh-huh. With the lasers and Jesus.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, the lasers turns into the cross.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Yes. Let's make that happen.
So, like, that's not really, I don't know. I just don't think you should put religious music on in a pool.
In my car?
Yeah, because what if you're atheist? What if you're Jewish? What if you're, it's just not universal.
But was it a bop? Were you guys?
It was not a bop.
Jamming. Okay.
It sounded like a cousin was also on the track. It was like a Christian Mingle mixtape. So it wasn't even professional music,
right,
you know?
Right.
So I'm listening and the ride is going to be long. It's like 28 minutes. I was like, can I really do this? And then he rolls all the windows down.
Oh,
all
no.
of them.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, okay, I got to pick one. Like, if I ask about the music, then it's going to be like, oh, you're one of those people who don't believe in the Lord. And then if you ask him
do
about
you not know Christ?
Yes. And the bitch in the front was like, oh, I love this music. I was like, oh, my God, two Christian Mingle people? And I was like, oh, I'm
I think they just call them Christian, sis.
What, Christian Mingle? It sounded like it was a meetup going on. I was like, if we pick up another Christian motherfucker in here, I'm getting out. And I was like, ooh, should I be that person? I'm like, do you think you could put something else on?
Okay, pause. You didn't have headphones on you? Your phone wasn't charged?
That's not the point.
That is the point.
That is not the point.
Could you have just put some music on your headphones?
I forgot my phone.
Okay, that's the point. So you were unprepared. Anyway, prepared to speak. Go ahead.
So I told him to roll up the window, and he said, actually, I'm really hot. I can't.
And the driver said that?
The driver said that. Not the other customer in the front. The driver. And I was like, okay, well, maybe he is hot. Maybe he's like hypoglycemic or whatever. And
whatever that means.
Like, it's a, you know, a health thing. Maybe he needs all the windows down. But it was really freaking cold.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, sir, can we change the music? Because this is not really for me. And then they both looked at me like, what do you mean this isn't for you?
He slammed on the brakes.
He's like, we could cancel the ride. Basically, I told him, I was like, I don't like the music. If you can turn the music off, that'd be great. I have a migraine. And he said, no.
So they would not roll up the windows and they would not turn the music on, turn the music off. And I was like, well, what do I do? Because we about to hit this bridge. And I gotta be cold.
You're a long ride after
I gotta be cold and praying.
And it's colder over the water.
Oh my God, it was turning into a prayer circle in that bitch. I was like, I feel uncomfortable. So I spoke up. They didn't change anything. They didn't fix anything. I gave them one star and yes. I wrote a Yelp. I Yelped about it. I said,
you wrote a Yelp?
Yeah, I did.
You wrote an Uber review.
An Uber review, okay. Which is also a Yelp. It's a fucking like, Yelp. And then it's a Yelp for Uber.
But like, you hit another app? Okay.
I said your driver was extremely unprofessional. He's playing religious Christian music. That wasn't good. I said, I'm an atheist. That's not my Lord.
Oh, sis. Who's your Lord then?
Not
because
that.
I don't think we can do this podcast. Drake. You got a dark Lord.
Drake is my Lord.
You know what, Sydney, we going
Metro Boomin, don't trust him. That's what I said in the Uber. Metro Boomin, don't trust
him.
Yeah,
we're going to have to do a prayer circle after the podcast because I'm not going to hell for you. Speaking of going to hell. Our guest today, lovely, fantastic. And I actually want to hear your thoughts on everything that you heard just now. He is a super hilarious comedian that I'm sure you
so
see.
So funny. He's
his Instagram stay popping. Mm-hmm. His body is always out.
Yes. He had a Comedy Central half hour.
Beautiful. Here for all of it. He is our Los Angeles expert. It's Joakim Booster.
Hello. Yay. Wow. So many thoughts. So Sydney, you posted about that Uber ride and I gasped when I read it because I could not believe the rudeness of it.
It's my fault because Uber drivers now, they're popping their collar. They're like, we doing what we want. It's Uber pool. Bitch, you in here.
Yeah, they know they have the power because they're like, you're poor.
Yes.
they know you have no leverage in this situation.
Right.
But I will say it was shocking because I knew there was a New York ride and I find New York, especially, like, we'll just get into LA. The LA Uber drivers are hell.
Yeah, they talk too much.
They talk way too much.
But also, I cannot tell you, this is a different situation, but oftentimes I will get, this has happened maybe, I think upwards of three times, I've gotten into an Uber or a Lyft, and they're playing Eminem. And it's like,
Eminem? Every
like Eminem song.
Eminem?
I don't know if it's current or old, but like, I will say that thematically, it feels like every Eminem rap is about a murder-suicide with his wife.
Yes.
So old Eminem.
And it's like, it doesn't bother me necessarily because I'm like, whatever, like I can tune this out it's not triggering to me, but it's always like, I'm like, what a bold move to be playing the most violent rap music in your car. Mm-hmm. Like, no apology for it. With people present. Sometimes I'll get in LA and they'll be listening to straight up like Rush Limbaugh, like conservative talk radio. And it's like, can you just literally put on jazz, you know, like
anything.
This is a situation where we all have to feel comfortable. And I know that it sucks that we live in a world where like we can't, where like any side, you know, is uncomfortable about something. But it's just like, don't play music then, you know, or play Top 40. I don't care.
Yeah. Joel, you basically was like, Christian Mingle's not that bad. I had Eminem. That's worse.
That's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Sometimes though, you're driving, like I'll be driving like in this, like in Texas doing a gig or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, flipping through the radio stations, and I'll be like, oh, this sounds cool. Like I don't often listen to the radio a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be like, oh, this must be like the new, you know, Demi Lovato that I'm not familiar with. Mm-hmm. And then like I'll get 2 minutes into the song and I'll be like, wait a minute.
This is a Christian song.
This is fuck. They're getting so good at aping.
They are.
It's going
like
on.
They have to.
They're like, surprise. Yeah. it's about Christ. Nice.
Yeah. And you know what? Honestly, the music, that's his preference, whatever. But the window thing.
The window thing is crazy.
He totally rolled up.
You couldn't roll one of the windows up?
The
audacity. No, he put it on where he can only control.
Oh, child lock?
Yeah. It was fucking crazy, dude.
That is wild.
I was like, fix your fucking car before you, you know, have your windows all the way down.
Was the car cute?
No, it wasn't. It was so dusty. The cup holders had ashes in it. It was just so nasty.
That's crazy. Yeah, but I feel like when I get in an Uber and there's no music playing, that's almost worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like we can hear each other like swallow. Yeah. Just like, actually, can we?
Well, that's in LA. They don't have the music playing because they want to talk to you.
Yeah.
They want to have a conversation.
Well, and here's what I recently realized about the real difference, like the difference in person, that difference between New York and LA is that I think, like, because people are always like, oh, New Yorkers are rude and LA people are kind. And I don't think it's not the rudeness. It's what it is that we are so, in New York, you are so used every day being skin to skin with strangers.
Right.
And like not addressing it and just being like, everyone's in their own world. We don't need to like communicate with strangers. And that doesn't happen in LA. And so when you're in a small enclosed space with a stranger, you're like, oh, this is weird. We should be talking. And then I'm sitting there as a former New Yorker being like, oh no,
actually,
like,
no,
I can exist in a space with a stranger and never look them in the eyes.
Oh, can't even describe what they look like.
Fine. Yeah.
Can't even describe what they look like.
This is a transaction. And it's not like me being like, I don't like you or want, it's just like,
no,
this
I don't like you.
It doesn't need to
like
be
you.
This.
I don't want
to
see you.
We don't need to be friends. Like, this is a short interaction, and like, I have gotten, and like, I'm sure my rating has like plummeted since I moved to LA because I just don't play ball. Like, I refuse.
I will chat. Sydney and I will get in an Uber in LA and we'll talk to the drivers, not because
it's easier when you have a friend, though.
Right. Like, yeah, we tag team and we promote our podcast. Work! I'm like, if you love this conversation, listen to the unofficial expert.
Oh, I got a date out of
yes, you did,
Uber
yeah.
that we took together in LA with the driver, not a customer. And we went to get French toast the next time I was in LA.
That's a fantasy, actually. Like, sometimes I've gotten to my like late night and I'm like, are we vibing? Is this happening? Should I move to the front? Yeah.
So, Joel, where are you from?
I grew up right outside Chicago in the suburbs, along with Kanye, by the way.
Oh, yikes. Sorry to hear. Can we talk about
your loss? Can we talk about him?
When he talks about like Chicago, like, it's like Chance, yes, you talk about Chicago. When Kanye talks about Chicago, I'm like, bitch, you are not from Chicago. Like, don't talk about like you grew up on the fucking south side of Chicago. His parents are affluent.
Right. His mother was like a teacher or something?
Yeah. His parents had like white collar jobs. Like, it's a lot. Anyway, sorry to dive in.
We all know that Kanye is a liar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Outskirts of Chicago, like 30 minutes outside the city. Okay. Went to college downstate, then moved to the city proper right after college.
New York City.
Yeah. What neighborhood? No, Chicago.
Chicago. City. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I also thought the city.
Yeah. There's only one.
Yeah.
And then, I was in Chicago for 3 years and then moved to New York and was here for five.
What were you doing in Chicago?
Chicago, you know, I moved to Chicago because I wanted to do theater.
Oh, I see that, but like Second City is used there, right?
Yeah, Second City is the thing, but like for me, I never had any designs to do comedy. I never was still. In fact, I in college auditioned for the improv and sketch groups like 3 times and never made it.
3 times.
Fuck.
Listen, yeah. I tried out for the basketball team one time, didn't make it. And I was like, basketball is dead to me.
That was probably a race thing, right?
A race thing?
Yeah.
Wait, her basketball or
no,
me?
No, not you. And, him.
I don't
theater?
Think so. I think it might be more a gay thing.
Oh.
I think it was more
I wasn't
a gay
even
thing.
Thinking about the gay. I was like, the gay is cool. The gay is theater. Yeah. How dare they?
But, yes, but it was improv.
Improv and sketch comedy.
Also, too, you don't want to be the Asian dude in the improv troupe because everything that like as a black woman
person.
Every time I did a scene in improv with like them UCB weird kids, they'd be like I'd come out and they'd be like, and we're picking cotton, and I'd be like, wait, I'm sorry, we're picking up cotton at the store? And they were like, no, we're just picking it in the feet. And it was like,
no,
it's a lot. God. It's a lot. But so yeah, and so I never really thought about doing comedy, and then I was in Chicago and I was doing theater and I was acting and I was writing and like I was like, this is fun. I really enjoyed it, and I still love the community there to this day. It just, like, the more, like, 3 years in, I started going in for auditions for, like, real-ass paying jobs, and it was weird. The more money you got in theater in Chicago, the less interesting the roles got for an Asian person.
Because
it was just, like, you know, on the ground floor, like, the storefront theater, like, you know, the equivalent to, like, a bar show here for Stanham, it was, like, great and cool and interesting, and, like, everyone was like, yeah, you're good, so, well, yeah, of course you can be the male lead in this, you know, because, like, we buy that. And then, like, you get to the Goodman and the Steppenwolfs and, like, the you know, the theaters that are paying you an actual paycheck, and it's like, oh no, actually we see you as this. And I was like, oh, this
sucks.
Like,
you own the store where the black girls get their weave.
And you're like, what?
You own this place? Like,
yeah.
They're not writing stuff for people who don't look
when
like
there's
them.
Money behind it, they get so scared and they're like, we can only do what the culture says, you know, like they're not pushing boundaries. They're just like, we have this money. We have to follow the rules that are set,
but
that we understand about like who, you know.
But what's so crazy about that is they like, if somebody was just going to think outside the box one time, then it'd be like, oh, that's, I've seen that already. Like, we can do more of these things with these people. Like, I saw Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
I was here for that. Did you see that movie?
I did. I saw it.
I enjoyed it.
I saw it at an almost all Asian screening very early.
But the thing is,
you know what sucks about the representation conversation is that like literally everyone is like, you must see this movie because if this movie doesn't do well, then we will get no more.
Well, that's what they said about Black Panther.
Yeah. And it's like, what an awful position to be in as an Asian person or a Black person who it's like, maybe you don't want to watch Black Panther, but you feel obligated to.
No. You
want to
watch Black Panther.
I mean, I did.
Everybody got to watch.
But let's talk about the plethora of beige films that are trash,
yeah,
but they can keep doing them
exactly.
Because they don't have to worry about doing a bad, everything Katherine Heigl has done.
I look back and I feel so guilty for how hard I went in on Looking, the gay Sex and the City show on HBO, because everyone hated it.
Wait.
Well, a lot of people hated it online.
Never heard of it, myself included.
Exactly. And and the thing is Looking now, like I took out a show like a year ago to pitch, and everyone before we went into like any place, they were like, do not bring up Looking because it is seen as a failure. And there has not been a show with four gay male leads since that show about a group of gay friends. And because every exec is like, well, that show failed, so it clearly must be because people don't want to watch a show about gay people. And it was like, no, that show was just like not very exciting. It was,
right.
And
it was
so,
poorly written.
Yeah. And it's just like, so
I didn't even watch it.
Give
I
us
tell
another
the writing
one.
Yeah. Was probably terrible.
It was just like, it's four gay men. And it was a little snoozy. And it's like, come on. Like,
it
we're
was
the most
looking,
exciting people.
I've never fallen asleep with four gay men.
Yeah.
Never. I've
exactly.
never fallen asleep. I've always been like, okay,
we're
so we go in here.
Out.
We jump in here. I'm doing coke. And then we're doing ketamine.
Yeah.
And then my ass is out. It's like, it's so much.
Somebody bought poppers.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sydney watched me do poppers last night.
Last night? On a Wednesday?
Yeah. On a Wednesday night.
Is that an LA thing? Are you trying to bring the LA shit over here?
It's a gay thing.
Listen, that's coast to coast. We're doing poppers.
Coast to coast poppers.
Can you talk to the people who are listening who maybe don't know what a popper is?
It's a drug that gay men use to have sex. It's basically amyl nitrate. I have the chemical build tattooed on my body because I thought it was funny. I'll show.
You have to pull your pants down. Okay.
Yeah.
At the studs.
Wow.
Joel pulled his pants down.
In the studio.
Yeah.
You're about that life.
I felt safe.
It is a safe space.
I've literally been here for 8 hours. It's basically whippets. It's like gay whippets.
But you can buy them at like a bodega? Like where
does
one buy poppers?
You can get them. It's the legality has changed a lot in the US and in the UK. It's been legal and then it wasn't legal and now it's legal again. It's often sold as VCR cleaner.
What?
Oh my God.
So first of all, who got a VCR?
Well, exactly. I actually had a friend in Chicago and she worked at like this gay sort of like Kmart basically where you got like, you know, your G-strings and your wigs and your
Gay-mart.
Poppers and stuff
yes.
like that. Yeah. And she was like a cool girl. She was like with it. She wasn't an idiot. But I remember at a party once she was like, yeah, she's like, are there like a lot of movies that are only on VHS in the gay community that like you're like really big? And I was like, what are you talking about, Mary? And she's like, these gay guys come in all the time to buy VCR cleaner. And it's like, who still has a VCR? And I'm like, oh,
honey.
Like,
wait, how do you take poppers?
You sniff.
You just sniff.
They're a little bottle and you sniff. Yeah.
Okay.
I have them in my bag.
And what does it do?
Thank you so much.
What it does is it gives you a head rush. And it also, more importantly, the reason why it's so big in the gay community is it dilates you. And so it loosens you up and makes it easier to take a dick.
So why don't you just do G?
Well, that doesn't give you like the body loosening like thing, and that's like more of a commitment. Mm-hmm. Like poppers last, it's a head rush that lasts for like 30 seconds.
So wait, you gotta hurry up and take it and hurry up and get the dick? Like what if you change your mind?
You do it like literally as you're like
As it's going in.
Yeah.
Girl,
so what
bye.
Were you doing with Sydney last night that you took it in front of Sydney?
Well, it's also like it makes you.
What was y'all doing?
We were getting closer.
Rush,
we were prepping for the podcast.
Exactly. The head rush is also like it's euphoric. Okay. It's like a 30-second euphoria, and so like it's fun to do, like, and then you really do just like want to dance, and like, and then you're, it's done after 30
seconds. I feel like you could just do Molly for that.
I know, but that's again
a commitment.
Commitment.
This is a man who has things
this
to do.
This is honestly, I'm surprised.
He's so busy.
I'm turning so many straight people onto poppers in LA because it's such a like, oh, I have to drive, so I can't drink or I can't do drugs because I don't want to like be under the influence.
Oh,
and it's like, bitch,
straight
do
people
poppers.
Doing poppers?
Yeah,
yeah, they go. They
30
go,
seconds.
They're
gonna
they go gentrify it.
Up.
They
yeah.
gentrify them.
They're
poppers
gonna fuck
now.
It up for
should,
everybody.
The thing is it if you take in. It works for your, like, it loosens everything up. So it loosens all the holes up. So I know I've turned a lot of straight women onto it because it's like.
What are you talking about? My holes is tight.
Exactly. The why you would need it, you know? Because it, like, dilates you and, like, it makes everything a little easier for both men and women if you are being penetrated.
This podcast has been sponsored by Poppers.
Yes, it has.
Find them at Daymart.
I will say it's bad because there are a lot of different brands. And, like, when I was young, I was like, oh, Poppers are Poppers. It's all the same. And now it's gotten to the point where I'm like, no, there are certain brands are better.
Oh, so now
Jungle Juice is better than Rush.
So now you're being Jungle a sommelier juice. Of poppers.
Yeah,
now.
Yes. I'm a poppers sommelier.
Let's talk about it. This is what you should be the expert on: is poppers.
Oh,
what's a bad popper?
A bad popper will just give you like a. It initially feels like the head rush, but then you'll get a headache really easily, or it won't. Like some. Make me feel hornier than others. Like some.
Ooh, listen, which one is that?
Like Jungle Juice. Jungle Juice, I think, is the one.
Jungle Juice
me.
Sounds like a win to me, also. Yeah.
There's also now like artisanal like poppers brands that are popping
I'm
up. Literally.
You.
Literally. I was at Folsom Street Fair in San Francisco, which is like a huge gay sex festival.
You're at a fair. You got
it's a
poppers.
Gay street festival right. where people are like fucking in the streets of San Francisco.
And love San Francisco.
There's just guys walking out with these trays, and it's, I believe, Double Scorpio is the brand. Mm. And it was like poppers, but like a minty, like eucalyptus
aftertaste?
Sort of like
eucalyptus?
After thing. Yeah. And I was like,
so they had
I
like
left.
A little like Trader Joe's sampler platter
yeah.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
People
wow.
just doing poppers
and
in the
just
street.
Snip, 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 snip. Yeah.
Freaking
everyone was dilated in the streets of San Francisco.
That's beautiful. I'm here for all of that.
It was gorgeous. It was gorgeous.
So let's talk about you moving to New York.
Yeah.
Right? So you're doing the theater thing out there. You're like, ugh, this is like I'm making money, but I'm not happy.
I'm not happy. And then I was doing a play called Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche.
That's a long ass title.
Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche. Uh-huh. And okay. You know who was starring in that play at the time was Beth Stelling, who
Ooh.
Is a known in our community.
Yes,
she's
yes.
an amazing stand-up comedian. She was sort of like the queen of Chicago comedy at that moment in time, and she was getting ready to move to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like talking to her on a break, and I was like, I'm really frustrated with like, you know, the acting and the theater and blah blah blah, and I'm not feeling represented.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not by these roles. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, you write and you are comfortable on stage, you should just try stand-up. She's like, you're funny and, you know, casually, so maybe
come
write
on
a joke.
Beth with the casual
yeah.
uplifting speech.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't even think I've talked to her about this. She does not remember.
I'm
this
sure she
no,
forgot
it, was
it
such,
as soon as she
it was
to
such
it.
A casual, like we're just sitting on a break, like chatting. And I ended up trying it once. I crashed the first time, thank God, because if I bombed, I don't think I'd ever would have tried it again.
No.
I couldn't tell you a single joke that I had written for it. And then
that was years ago.
Yeah, years ago. And then I just like I did. It was hard in Chicago because I was like I didn't know how stand up worked.
Right.
I didn't know that I was supposed to be going to open mics and stuff like that.
Right.
And like. And so what happened was, is I would get booked on these like weird gigs because like people in the theater community would knew that I was starting to do stand up and they were like, oh, do you want to open for this play? Just do stand up before this play.
Freaking love the theater.
And
community.
I was like, oh, sure.
Yeah,
and
you
I
know,
didn't.
Plays need a little help.
Yeah.
You know, you got help the audience out before they get into this
exactly.
weird ass play.
And then like I would start getting booked at like clubs in Chicago and other stand ups in Chicago really resented me. Because they were like, well, he didn't put in the time.
They haters.
He didn't do the... But the thing is when you're...
Don't
in a,
worry about my
when,
journey, boo.
When you're in a smaller community like that, people really do get fixated on like line jumping and like, you got to do this, X,
But is
y,
it
Z
line
thing.
Jumping if I'm better than you?
Exactly.
It's like, sis, you could back cut.
Well, and there's a lot of like, oh, because Mateo Lane and I were both in the scene at the time. And Mateo was so supportive at the beginning and mm-hmm. really did like... He was the one who... explain to me like you should be going to these open mics and stuff like that too, but he was also like fuck them all because like this was a time, like, it was only like 8 years ago, but it was so different to be a gay stand-up comedian back then. Because there was so much more hostility from other stand-ups who were like, oh, you're just going on stage and like talking about being gay and people will laugh at that. And it was like, no, bitch, I'm writing setup, punchline, like, fuck you. Yeah. Just because like I'm talking about my dating life and it's a little bit different than yours.
Right.
Like, you're resenting the fact that they're laughing. It's just like, it was such a more hostile environment.
Yeah.
Back then. I can see that. I can see it.
It is now. I like, there's so many of us now and it's so great. And it's like, back then Mateo was the only other gay stand-up that I really knew, and there was a lot more, not between me and Mateo, but like, I think like we were just exiting this period where like gay stand-ups were really competitive with each other, because we knew there would only be even in my early years in New York, like, it would be like Mateo would cancel on a show and I'd get a Facebook message being like, hey, we need a gay, basically. That was like the subtext of it.
And
it was like, it was a long time before Mateo and I would just casually be on the same lineup without it being an explicitly gay stand-up show.
Yeah.
And then now it's nice because it's like, Mateo and I are very different stand-ups.
Yes.
We have very different styles, talk about different shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's no reason why we couldn't be on the same bill. It's not redundant at all.
But
you know?
It's so redundant when you hear the same Chad, Ryan, Connor jokes. And it's like, yes, you hate your mother. You went on a bad day. Yeah. You're depressed.
Fuck the stool.
You're trying to throw the word nigga in the set somewhere. Yeah. Like, it's so, that's redundant to me.
It was so different. And so what happened was, is I would I had a lot of friends who, or not a lot, but some theater college friends that were out here. And so I would come out and visit and I would do shows. And I remember I had only been doing stand up for maybe seriously for like a year and a half, 2 years at this point. And I came out to New York and I did Wyatt Cenac's Night Train.
No way. Yeah. That was such a good show.
And it's only because I did, like, it was like truly a friend of a friend, like gave me Marianne Ways, who's like booker extraordinaire, my tape, and she booked me and I did that show. And like after that show, like, I remember talking to her and she was just like, well, you're good at this. She's like, when are you coming here? And I was like, oh, I don't know, because everyone in Chicago was like, you gotta wait 6 years doing this before you go to New York or LA.
People in Chicago are
you gotta do this show, you gotta, like, before you go, you have to hit these marks. And I was like, yeah, I'm just sort of like waiting. And she was like, well, you're good. She's like, do you want to do this? Do you want to do comedy full time? Do you want to make this your career someday? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And she was like, well, you're at the point now where you're like good enough to do this, so just, what are you waiting for?
Right.
Word. And literally, I got back to Chicago. A month and a half later, I moved to New York.
You picked up all your shit and you left.
Sold it all. Came, two bags, one me. To New York. Came, lived in a fucking terrible loft situation with seven roommates.
No, ooh, no, Joel.
Seven
no.
roommates.
Seven roommates. Where?
Bushwick.
McKibben seven people lofts. Lived in...
Uh-huh. It was a duplex. It was a two-story duplex. So there were, we each did have our own rooms.
Yeah,
but
I was
they
like,
were
wait,
all
wait,
little...
wait, wait, hold on. I don't know no place in Bushwick that you could have seven motherfuckers in there.
The McKibben
lofts.
It's
a warehouse. How many bathrooms?
Two.
That's not enough bathrooms.
No, not for seven. And everyone...
It's better than one.
Seven people? I need three, four bathrooms.
Yeah, but that's the difference between like New York and LA. You'll have all these roommates, and in LA, you can literally
Here's
have your
thing.
Place
That's
by
why
yourself.
I mean, that's why I decided to stay. So I went out there a year ago, almost to today, to work on a show, and I was like, I'm coming back to New York. I'm going to work for 3 months on this show, and then I'm coming back to New York. I am not done with New York. And then I was subletting this apartment in LA, and the apartment next door opened up, and I was like casually like looking, because I gave up my apartment. I was like, I'm ready to live alone in New York. I'm going to find it. And I was like, from LA, I was like looking at apartments and like trying to work with a broker, and like the nightmare of looking for an apartment in New York.
And brokers, they get you with that little 12% broker's fee, and you think that means a month, but it's 12% of the year.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
And I'm like, I gotta do the math.
It's expensive. And I was like looking at what I could afford. And the thing is so the apartment next door to the one that I was subletting opened up. And
it was a
I
sign.
Asked the landlord, and I was like, hey, can I just like look at this apartment? And it was a one bedroom. And it was truly like, for what I'm paying for this one bedroom now, I would have to live in like Far East Flatbush in a studio. Like, you know. And I was like, can I look at this apartment? And he was like, sure. I looked at it. And I was like, how would I apply for this? And he was literally like, do you just want it? And I was like,
it was
yeah.
made for you.
Yeah, no. And then literally within 4 hours, I hadn't even like seriously considered permanently moving to LA. And then within 4 hours, he was like, just write me a check and I'll give you the keys. And I wrote him the check. And he handed me the keys, and I suddenly had a one-bedroom apartment in LA.
That guy needed drugs bad. He's yeah. like, he's give me like, the check no, right now.
He's scratching his throat. He's like, come on, just give me the money, man.
Antonio Diaz is the best landlord I've ever had. He's the sweetest man. This is his story. This is crazy.
Okay.
So this guy, the guy who owned my building, has three buildings on the block.
Right.
And they're all small, like 19 units each,
rich.
Whatever. Yeah. And he his wife died, and they had no kids. And then he got cancer, and he was dying. And Tony is the super of my building. And Tony took care of him until he died. And unbeknownst to Tony, he left him all three buildings.
Look, of course, that's not how it goes for
so Tony.
That's
how it goes. So Tony went from being just the super of this building to owning three buildings on this block. And he's such a good dude. He's like, it's just easier for me not to raise the rent and know that every single apartment will be filled immediately than like raising the rent every year and kicking people out and pricing people out. And
he's a good man.
Oh my
man.
God.
No,
Joel,
you know,
he's a
good man. Do you want to know how fucking good he is? I went abroad to do shows and I was gone for like a month and a half. And I am such a bad driver. This is something we can talk about in LA. My bumper was like lopsided. It was like hanging down low on one side, and I left and I came back. That motherfucker fixed my bumper because it quote unquote made him sad to look at.
Oh,
and
Johnny.
I was like, what?
Well, who Tony with? He's single? What's
yeah, he's,
going on?
I think he's
black
single.
Girls or what's happening? What's up?
He's an older Hispanic man.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, sure.
He has three lovely dogs. And I
three
think he
lovely
has,
dogs.
I think he has a girlfriend. I think he has a girlfriend.
He can get a side girlfriend. Marie,
he's
a handsome,
he's
handle that.
Actually like he's an older guy and not for me, but he is a handsome man, you can tell.
He
you
said
can tell
not
he's
not for me.
He's a handsome man.
Shade.
And the thing is, oh, people were furious when I got this apartment because it is the building where like people one opens up and everyone is like trying to get their friends in there immediately because so there's it is funny because there's like three like families basically you can trace the lineage of every person back
yeah,
to like
yeah.
who initially like tipped them off.
So
to
people
the
were mad at you because you got
yeah,
the apartment first.
I literally found out about it almost the day that it opened up because like I was down by my pool.
Okay.
Hanging with one of the neighbors, and he casually mentioned, he was like, hey, yeah, that unit next to you is opening up. And I was like, oh, crazy. I was like, I should talk to Tony about it. And he was like, you should do it right now because
literally put
people
on your,
will find out.
Put on your pants now and go yeah. and talk to, or did you go up to Tony? And
you know, he went up
breeze.
There in a Speedo. He was yeah. like, hey, Tony.
Tony.
Just doing lunges yeah, just, in Tony's
well,
face.
Well, that was a big part of it because honestly, I was like, it was December at this point and I was in my Speedo by a pool. And I was like, you know
yeah.
what? I lived in the Midwest my entire life. I've done New York for 5 years.
You deserve
I'm done
it.
With winter.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
I hate the winter so much. I'm from
honestly,
here and
it's
I
fucking October and it's
it.
Frigid outside.
And you didn't bring no jacket.
I brought
I know you didn't.
One jean jacket. That's
one
it.
That's not enough.
It's
because
not
you
enough.
Forgot what it's like here.
Yeah. Well, it's October. I figured this is jean jacket
no,
month.
No, honey.
No, that was September.
And like the thing is and I said this just a second ago to a friend, but I was just like, this is the first I've been back to New York almost every month that since I left,
mm-hmm.
except for literally September is the only time I haven't been back. And this is the first trip back where I literally walking here, I was like, I don't miss this as much as I
used
thought.
To.
That's
I
what
should.
Happened. You're growing. That's growth, yeah. boo.
It's called a
I was
breakthrough.
Like, uh-huh. I need to. Sis. I was like, I'm glad I only have two more days because I just like I can't do the cold. I gotta get back
but
and I like and it was an
adjustment.
That's
how you know you're in the right place.
It is. Well, you know, it was really hard. The first like 4 to 5 months were
okay.
really debilitatingly
What's the hardest part
hard.
About
because
moving?
So what happened is basically just flipped because I'd been going out there to do work shit for a while and mm-hmm. I had a friend group out there. I had mm-hmm. my gays. You
is
know,
that a
like,
good plan though? Is it like when you go to LA have shit set up? Because I feel yeah. like you can struggle in New York and bum it out and make it work. In LA you really got to have something going on.
You have to have a network,
yeah.
a support system
yes.
in place because it is so lonely.
Yeah.
yeah.
It is
That's
so
what I was
going to
say. Because I lived in LA for a while and I didn't
right.
know anybody.
Yeah.
And when I got there, I didn't like it because I knew no
it's
one.
It's so much harder. No one hangs out.
They the, don't plan, leave their like,
the,
neighborhoods.
The lovely thing about coming back to New York is I know that in New York, I can show up at a show and I will go, I will see 1,000 people I know, and
right.
then we will move to a second and third location.
Right.
In LA, you never move to a second location.
You never move.
You go to the show and
that's
then everyone
it.
Disperses and that's
right.
it. Or you like have plans to go to this party and that is the location, you know?
Right.
And so it is, it's a much, it's an adjustment. Because it is like you have to plan, and like people don't want to leave their houses because they're so big.
Their houses
that's
are
the
big.
That's the thing. That's why people
that's
go out
lovely.
So much in New York is you're trying to escape your small ass apartment with your roommates.
Tiny
you're
ass.
Like, just get me out of here. I need to be out of this like claustrophobic space. And in LA, everyone has these great apartments that they're like, I
yeah.
would rather be here.
They're like, well, we have a full balcony and it's two bathrooms.
Yeah.
Like I had two bathrooms. I had my own bathroom when I lived in LA and a balcony. We wheeled the TV out onto the balcony once. And watched The Lion King on a Sunday just outside. That's, I was like, so I can't beautiful. Do this in New York.
Ah.
It is so
Why
nice.
Do we bum it out here so hard? Why do we go hard for New York the way we do?
Because we're all struggling, so we're all kind of sad.
Yeah.
But then in LA, the sun is shining and it doesn't really rain.
It is nice to be able, because this is the other thing. I hated LA the first couple of times I went, because you really do have to know the spots to go. Like, I ended up between meetings and shit, like, just going to fucking Barnes and Noble or whatever, or Chipotle, because it is like a sprawling suburb almost.
Yes.
And New York, you walk outside your door, you can take five steps and there will probably be something interesting or cool to sit at, a cool coffee shop, what a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
In LA, if you don't want to go to a chain, you have to know where to go, because it is just like everything is a strip mall and everything is a Chipotle.
Right. It's spread out. Everything is spread out.
And so you can't, it's really hard to just bum around LA. You know, you can just kick around New York forever.
Right. Because you'll eventually find, walking in New York is easy. When I was walking in LA, it is easy because there's so much to see. There's so many people that you can randomly bump into. In LA, they look at you
if
hanging
you're
out
walking,
their car. Like, what the hell are you
doing? If you were
doing?
Walking in LA, people are like, oh, that poor homeless person.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
Truly, I like the and there's a lot of places don't have sidewalks, so you're like
on the street
like on the like weird curved grass area by the mall
where
you
the
know?
Tree roots are like up and you're like
and it's like it's dangerous to be out walking in LA.
Yeah, but it's just too many people on the sidewalk, and then the people who want to fucking hold hands and meet in a group with each other. It's just I'm so claustrophobic
in Soho
and Times Square and the Lower East Side. It's like, where can I go
but
and I just have
it.
A sidewalk to myself.
You'll miss
Listen,
it.
The first time I went to LA, I was like, it's so clean here. And then I saw where the dirty people were. But I was like, wow, I don't even think, because for the longest time, I thought pigeons were only New York based. I had never seen a pigeon. I was
they
like,
travel, boo.
I was like, look at these dirty doves. Like I didn't know that was a thing anywhere else except here.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though, that is crazy, is that you will miss that energy of like walking. Yes. You'll miss it. It's, I don't know. I live in a nice, the other thing I like about my neighborhood is it's slightly walkable. It is like just walkable.
Where's your neighborhood?
I live on the east side of LA. It's the only place to live in LA.
Okay. Is it diverse?
It is. Every
Jill's
place.
There.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little diverse. It's Los Feliz. I live in walking distance, straight smack dab in the middle of both LA UCBs. What a dream. I can walk 7 minutes in any direction.
But also walking distance to the Scientology Center, because I feel like I've seen
that too.
It's scary. It's scary out there.
Castle.
You know what's crazy is that whoever used to live in my apartment, I get mail for him and he gets handwritten letters from the Church of Scientology being like, where are you? We miss you. What happened to you?
He had
and
tons
my
of money.
Thing is, I think they disappeared him and they're sending these letters to
just
be
to
like,
cover their tracks.
Yeah, to be like,
handwritten.
We've been sending him letters asking him where he is.
Like
we don't know where he is.
In cursive, so you open
in
the
cursive.
Mail.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Oh, always. Because it's from the Church of Scientology, and I'm like, I gotta know.
Oh,
I the first time I started doing it is because I was like, oh, I wanna know a secret. I wanna know what's really
where
going
are
on.
You?
Did you
and
open his
like,
mail?
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's full felony.
Oh,
full
God,
felony.
Is
I know.
Total felony.
We say allegedly here.
Allegedly.
I will say too, the other thing that happened to me after a year in LA is that, so like here, I would much rather on a beautiful day in New York walk like 2 miles than wait for a bus or get in a train or whatever, go down underground if it's beautiful. In LA now, it is so funny. Like, we'll park somewhere and my friends and I will be walking. I'll be like, can we just take an Uber? And they're like, Joel, it's literally 7 blocks. And I'm like, that's so far. I can't walk that far. And they're like, you're from New York. And I'm like, I just refuse. I'm like, any distance. I will drive my car literally 3 minutes to the Rite Aid now because I am a terror. I am destroying the planet.
No,
I'm the reason we have 12 years left on this planet.
No, also because like there's less to see in LA when you're walking.
Yeah.
It's like it's just like the side of a building and then a bum and then a Target and then another building and look, 6 types of palm trees. But it's a different walk. 7-minute walk in New York is nothing.
Yeah. No, but it's a great walk because the air is freaking clean.
Nah,
in
they got
LA?
Smog, sis. They got
no.
They got smog?
I have a website in LA that tells you, that checks the air quality. And the other week in LA, because there were forest fires in Canada that the wind was blowing down.
Oh, fuck.
If you spent at 6 hours or more outdoors in LA, it was the equivalent of smoking 3 cigarettes.
Bitch, are you serious?
Yeah. It's actually been a really rough transition. You'd think that it would be better in LA for me, but I have asthma and my lungs are bad. And so like I truly have to like hide indoors sometimes.
With your asthmatic ass. Damn.
It's rough.
Yeah, you have one of the little, you don't wear the little mask? The little... surgeon mask?
No, he can't do that.
I ain't one of those.
I ain't one of those New York agents.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what are your favorite places to be in LA? Like, what, people listening that are like, well, where should I go?
Akbar is, I think, one of the best gay bars in the country. It's a gay dive. People will find that suspect because it is like a very much a dive bar, but I love it.
Where is it?
It's on the east side. It's in Silver Lake. It's just it's like a neighborhood gay bar in a way that like reminds me a little bit of New York.
It's your Cheers?
It's my Cheers.
It's your Cheers.
It is like one of the few places in LA I know I can show up any night of the week and I will see probably at least someone I know, which is actually kind of the nightmare of being gay in LA, I will say. Is that
you always bump into somebody that you know.
The gay community feels so much smaller in LA.
Really?
In a couple of different ways. And so it's sort of segregated from like to three different areas: downtown gays, east side gays, west side gays.
What's the difference?
West Hollywood gays are your Hell's Kitchen.
Okay.
Hell's Kitchen, your Chelsea gays.
Mm-hmm. So gay.
Yes, like very hard gay. Hard gay.
Yeah.
And then like you've got your east side gays, which are a little bit more
Lax.
Like your Williamsburg, your East Village, like sort of a nice, like sort of normal, like middle of the road. Like you're getting a little bit of variety in there.
Yeah.
And then downtown is like Crown Heights, Bushwick, like, you know.
So the black gays? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah.
I'm hearing black
urban gays?
No.
Gays?
They're spread throughout. But
gays that wear Tim's.
Yeah.
It's more
BET gays.
Gays. No, I'm thinking like Bushwick, like gentrified Bushwick.
Okay. So
like white twinks wearing thrift store clothes.
But it's like, I don't know if you're a gay or a hipster.
Yeah. That's not an exact science.
Ironic mustaches.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's crazy because I feel like in New York, I could hook up with a guy that I met out and then they would just disappear into the mist and I never have to see them again.
Yeah.
I casually dated this guy when I first moved there, which a mistake. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's like everyone was in the business of it because they're like, oh, you're dating Sam. Like, he dated everybody. Like, he dated this person. I hooked up with Sam. Everyone.
How you feel about that, though? Like, you're just not going to get the one person who just doesn't hook up with everybody.
True.
It's in every community. There's always that one person, and it's just like, well, let's see how they do. Maybe they're really good. That's why everybody's fucking them.
Yeah,
that's why everybody's riding their train.
And
that
was
true.
Yeah. We were both great. And honestly, like, it was a source of growth because I tend to like, I fuck and I flee. I prefer to like see them disappear in the mist, like I said. But with Sam, because like he was friends with all my friends and we're in like, there are 16 gay men on the east side, basically. we stopped dating. He was like, I'm not feeling this. And I was like, that's cool. And now he is one of my best friends in LA.
I can't be nobody's best friend after
after
you've seen my clit. No way.
Clit. This is it.
That's it.
But no, it is. And like, I don't think I've ever been friends with someone after casually dating them, like, and hooking up with them.
Sydney, have you ever stayed friends with an ex?
No.
But LA will do that. LA will do that to
you. I've never even wanted to attempt that.
Like, we'll chat, like, through DMs a little bit, like, they'll, oh, I'm so proud of you, blah, 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 I see you out here, and I'm like, you can't come back.
But see, the thing is we ended things. We stopped, like, hooking up and dating, like, early enough that, like, I wouldn't even call him an ex. Like, that's too much. Even talk about what I, like, it was a lot, and it was, like, weird because it just felt like it was happening in front of an audience, you know? Like, the
whole
experience.
Yeah, I don't like people in my business.
And here, it's just, like, there's so much noise in New York that, like, no one can, it's really hard to pay attention unless you're, like, the circle of attention is much smaller in New York, whereas in LA, there's not a whole lot going on, so everyone's sort of, like,
in your
reaching
business.
For, like, pointing.
What are you doing? What's happening there? Yeah. You guys broke up? You guys are still together? Yeah. You know, he used to date so-and-so. Yeah. Shut up.
You know what
don't tell me who he used to date.
The other nightmare of being gay in LA is that it does feel like in New York I had a very diverse group of gay male friends that I would hang out with often,
mm-hmm.
and in that all walks of life, many different professions, many different interests. In LA, everyone works in the industry. every gay
and
person.
Literally every, even the people every who drive gay, the Uber.
Yes.
Like, and in New York, the Uber drivers, you're like, oh, I know he got some home in Queens, Astoria. He don't like comedy. Like, yeah. He's just like, this is right. What I do. I'm a driver. But in LA, everybody's like, well, you know, I'm working on my script. You know, I'm a director. Yeah. I'm also in music videos.
The Uber drivers, though.
Yeah.
Like, I had a driver drop me off at like the Sony lot, and the guy was like, oh, I just want to be where you, I want to be where you are right now. And I was like, can you just drive me to where I'm going?
Yeah, because now I'm sad. Now I'm right. Sad.
It's
you
like,
know?
I'm just gonna turn my music all the way up.
Yeah.
And but like they're telling you what they want to do while they're dropping you off where you going.
But and the thing is like a lot of the gay men, they're like working and they're like doing cool things, but it's just like it's weird when like you see a casting director that you just auditioned for like getting fucking railed in the dark room at Spotlight. You
oh
know,
my
like,
god!
And it's
let's
just
talk
like,
about walk us through that story. So you go to Spotlight. You go to Spotlight.
What is Spotlight
okay. For an after dinner drink?
So once again, let me detail the true hard part about being gay in LA is there is only one cool thing that happens every weekend for gay people. Like whereas here, there's like cool bars and parties and blah 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 you can go to that come through. But truly in LA, it is like. Like, I remember last Halloween I was in LA and there's this monthly party called Spotlight. It's like a little bit of like a circuit party and like you get a, you RSVP and then they send out the location night of. It's a warehouse party.
Oh, I
like
love
it,
those.
It moves around. Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. There's
secret
a couple
location.
Of those. Yeah. It's yeah. There's a couple of those that happen on a rotating basis in LA. And like I literally will text friends when I'm there. I'll be like, hey, are you coming? And they, without any like discussion of it, they'll be like, no, I'm on my way. And it's just because I didn't even have to say, are you coming to Spotlight? Because I know there's only one thing going on that night. Mm-hmm. And so
I love
we're all
that.
Going.
Yes. It's like a traveling house of yes.
Yes, it really is. And so it's like, it's in these different spots. It's very secretive and like, but not really. And then like everyone's doing whatever they want. And this is the other nice thing that I actually noticed on this trip back to New York is that because our gay community is so sprawling and there are so many of us here, we self-segregate in a way that like, I went to this sort of illegal gay bar in Bushwick called Spectrum, and like everyone
never heard of that.
It's newish. It's
well,
newish.
Sydney,
it's like one of those places like kids are smoking indoors. It's an illegal bar.
I gotta
bar.
Get my gay together. Yeah. Like what
get
the hell?
Get
it's like,
your gay MapQuest together. Yes.
But like everyone in Bushwick in the gay scene like looks roughly the same, dressed exactly the same. But because there's only this like one cool thing that happens in LA for gay people, every like genre of gay is sort of forced to congregate together.
Yeah.
And like it's just like West Hollywood muscle gays, like little queer, gender queer, like, you know, alt boys and like me and like my friends and like, you know, everyone in between is sort of like congregating together because we just sort of have to, which I kind of like because you can taste a little bit of everything.
I mean, taste
know?
The rainbow.
But these parties are cool. There's like, you know, it's in a warehouse and then there's a dark room. Where you can just sort of go in.
Develop photos. Develop photos.
But
is that what we're calling fucking now?
Yes.
Developing
the photos. And so it can be rough though, because like I love a public sex act. I truly, you know, I was.
But what do you love about a public sex act?
I'm an exhibition. I just pulled my fucking pants
you
down
sure
in
did
studio.
To show us your tattoo that you could have just rolled your
pants
leg
exactly,
up for.
Exactly. No, I do love that. It is harder though. Like it is like sort of the catch 22 of like wanting to be famous is that like the more I do shit that's like out there in the world, people will like be like,
is that Joel?
Yeah, but you got to do that. You got to do that early in the career.
Yes.
So people be like, oh, it's nothing. That's what you do.
Yeah, no,
but
exactly.
But if all of a sudden you're like,
made
oh,
sex
I don't do shit. And then
pretty big part of my brand. So it is like. It is not like a shock to by any means when people see me going in and out of the dark room.
Right.
And but it is like weird sometimes we're all like, I got in a fight with the manager at my Equinox because he wouldn't do this thing for me. And then I truly saw him getting railed in the dark room at Spotlight.
And so you're like, are you going to do that favor now?
I know. And now I feel
did
like.
Did you say,
I,
hey, Brian?
Yeah.
Nice
you
to see you
did
again.
That. You should have let him know that you saw him.
I'm sure he didn't care.
Oh, I no. You just you sort of have to let it go after a little bit of time. But
I'm petty.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna bring it up.
I'd be like, Brian, hey, can I talk to you for a moment?
Actually, this is a perfect. I was just gonna ask you for a favor.
So petty. Truly petty. So this guy, so Equinox, is that gym of choice
that
in LA?
That is the gym of choice and I regret it truly every day.
It's everybody looks so damn good.
It's like $900 a month.
It's so expensive and quite honestly, not worth it. Not in any way worth it.
Well, the trainers are not that great.
the trainers are not that great. My trainer was an Equinox trainer. Mm-hmm. And he's Brendan. Shout out to Brendan.
Hey, Brendan.
6'4", covered in tattoos. Yeah, I'll show you a picture after the show.
Off camp.
He's great, mm-hmm. straight. And I was a little nervous because he's from Boston. And like, it was one of those situations. I asked him for help with something when I was just working out. And he's like, I would love, you have a free session. We should work out. And I was like, okay. And so I met with him and immediately I was like, I'm gay.
Okay, finish those tricep dips.
Yeah, and he was like, and I knew he was from Boston. I was like, oh, he's probably gonna be like a Trump supporter or like a race. I don't know. And so then at the end of our session, I was like on pins and needles the whole time. And then he was like stretching me out, and I was like, oh, I'm going to Boston soon for shows. And he was like, cool. He's like, Boston is just full of fucking cops. And then under his breath, he was like, and racist. And I was like, oh, you can hang.
You can stretch me out. All of a sudden, your hips opened up.
No, he's like the best dude. And then he also, like, he listened to my album, which was so sweet. And he was like, and I talk about hooking up in steam rooms at the gym on my album. It's mm-hmm. one of my closers. And he was like, thank you so much for contextualizing some of the nonsense behavior I see going on in this gym steam room. He's like, I thought guys were just being rude, but now I think they were hitting on me. And I was like, Brendan, they were absolutely hitting on me. But he was an Equinox trainer and he quit because he was like, I had the disagreement with the manager. And he's like, you can come with me to this other gym though. And like, you don't have to be a member at the gym. You can just pay me because they're cool. It's a smaller
Blank.
Thing.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 No, he went to a very boutique, a very chill, a very lovely gym that I actually really like. But he told me once now, he was like, yeah, part of the problem he had with them is that they really put the pressure on to be like sales there as a trainer and like not goal oriented. And he was like, my manager kept being like, you need to start flirting with gay men. You need to go out there. And he's like,
gross.
Your target should be older gay men. And like, you should go out there while they're working out and like flirt with them a little bit and then get them to sign up. And then like, they'll never meet their goals. So it was really gross. Like, he was really going into it with me.
Gross.
And I was like, I'm glad you left, Brendan, because you're better than that.
Because you're better than that. But you're still at Equinox.
Yeah.
Oh, I still. Yeah.
But you're not better than
but,
that.
But like, now I go half as much. It's even less worth it because I'm twice a week. Like, I work out four times a week and twice is with Brendan. So it's like, what am I doing?
Yeah, but your goals are met.
You mean your goals. I felt your back earlier.
It is a little dip in your goals.
When you go to the gym, what are you doing? Like, give us a quick, like a quick.
I do
like
2 days of lower body, 2 days of upper body. It's really all set with Brendan. It's changed because now we're doing this split. But basically one day, it's all built around one main lift.
Okay.
Where you really destroy yourself doing a squat, a deadlift, a bench, or an incline bench.
And then you foam roll and go home.
Because you have an incredible body. And you have no problem showing it on Instagrams. And we just truly appreciate that. I mean, you're really out here helping the men realize what a good body is. Mm-hmm, and I think that's the thing in LA. Like, everyone works towards looking good.
Here's the thing. I disagree.
You disagree?
I think that the men in New York are so much hotter. I think it is a myth that people are hotter in LA.
Oh, I don't think that they're hotter. I just think that you guys are more healthy.
Maybe that's true, but I think like people are so much hotter in New York.
But you can be ugly and drink a green juice.
That is true.
Know?
That is true. That is true.
No, I think it's a different type of good looking in LA. It's just like more refreshing. Like they're more vain in LA.
Fun.
Like you'll have like a
they're more groomed.
Yeah, like in New York you'll have somebody who literally looks like they didn't brush their teeth or wash their ass and they'll just go through the whole day and it's like, yeah, you physically look decent, but you're dirty.
Yeah.
Like it's a dirty city, sis.
It's a dirty ass city.
That's not hot to me.
I think too, like, oh fuck. Just about to
that
say
the men are hotter, hotter here than they are in New York.
I definitely test better in LA, weirdly, than I test. It's I think the gay men are hotter in New York, but I can get a hotter man in LA.
Okay,
I agree.
So I feel like you're in the right place.
Yeah. I think it's partially because I think there are a lot of Asians on the West Coast and a lot of people grow up around Asian people. So it's not like it's not a weird fetish thing. So I appreciate that. Here's what I wanted to say about my Instagram presence, because for me, that is for me. It makes me feel good. Yes, I love the validation.
Yeah.
I struggled with my body image for a long time. Here's the thing. I won't name names.
Okay.
I'll name names off mic.
Okay.
But there are straight comedians. Mm. That are not in our circle, but are successful.
Mm.
And I see, you know, at the festivals and who give people like me and Mateo shit and say comedians should not be about their bodies on Instagram. It shouldn't be.
That's because they don't have no good bodies.
Exactly. If you don't have good bodies, there's shows to promote.
What I say to them is like, I'm sorry, but straight women and gay men, we do not get fucked for our personality.
Nope.
I'm sorry, that is not a part of our privilege. We can't have a fucking lumpy ass body look at and be funny and have hot women flock to us because for whatever goddamn reason.
Also,
I'm sorry, I had to work for this.
Why are you policing my Instagram?
Exactly. It's fucking Instagram.
It's for my followers. Like, my followers don't give a damn about you and your lumpy potato body.
What exactly am I supposed to be using my Instagram for if not pictures of myself?
And when you say straight comedians, you're talking about men.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Because women don't have an issue with it.
No.
Live your life.
Women are like, yes, where did you get those briefs from? Oh my God, love your thumb.
It's like, I'm sorry that not every single 360 moment of my life is about stand-up fucking comedy.
Oh, I love that you do other things
like,
and you have friends and you're like,
please let
me
have this one corner of my social media presence that does not have to be about self-promotion or jokes.
Yes.
You know?
It's so crazy because those posts that they're complaining about are the ones that get the most likes.
Exactly.
It's like, dude, you're still trying to break 200 likes.
Well, and I think it's like for them, they're like, well, aren't you worried that people, your fans are fans of you because you're hot or because you're funny? It's like, I don't
so what? They fans?
I don't fucking care because they're still buying the tickets. Yes,
shut
they
up.
Are still putting money in my pocket.
Sold out weekend in Rhode Island.
And quite
or
honestly,
wherever.
The fucking fact is like I'm on the road most weekends and I am going to these straight ass fucking clubs and there are not gay people in the audiences. I have to work twice as hard sometimes
to have them come to
get,
see you.
to get these fucking weird ass homophobes who like
preach
are there is a bear there is a hurdle initial and the first 10 minutes of my set is just getting them to understand that I am gay and that like that's it's just like
and it's fine
yeah
it's okay.
To settle into that
yeah and you know what, I'm glad that you spoke about this because clearly, you know, me and Marie, we are cut from the same cloth. Beautiful.
Thank
it's
you.
A beautiful cloth.
Such
and
a beautiful cloth.
People get upset because they're like, you know, y'all bitches just get to be yourselves and have fun and you don't put pressure on yourself to like, everything is not a damn like flyer.
Yeah.
Everything is not a damn like, oh, I'm on stage with a damn mic in my hand.
Exactly.
Like, people want to see what we're doing.
Sometimes I look at my Instagram and I'm like, am I a comedian? I can't remember the last time I put a photo of a microphone pic. Like,
yeah.
Do I do comedy?
It is for
it's
me.
It's crazy. But is it crazy?
No.
Like, I can do other things and... Listen, I could be cute. I could have a bunch of followers.
Uh-huh.
I can have a nice little butt and I can still be a comedian.
Crush.
Yeah.
Crush.
I can still be out here booked, busy, and blessed. And Joel, I know that you're booked, busy, and blessed.
And you're doing it. You have all the proof is in the pudding, honey.
Right. Honeys.
And it's so weird when people are like, people are only laughing. And it's like, people do not laugh at you because you're hot. We know hot comedians who are not funny.
Yes.
Woo! Name them.
I have seen them bomb.
We have seen them bomb.
Constantly.
And then somebody will go buy them a drink. And it's like, okay, great, whatever. But just because you're attractive, like, because I know that Sydney, when you started doing comedy, people would be like, but you're too pretty to do comedy.
And it's actually really frustrating when I get on stage because either a lot of people are not listening because they're like, well, wow, you're like stunning. Why
or they're
are you
not
doing
on your side.
They're like,
they're not on your side.
Look at
they say, prove it.
Yeah, make me laugh.
They give me a hard time because they're just trying to figure like, why the fuck are you doing this? Are you really that funny? And it's like, I have to break so many walls down. But if I was like, you know,
it's so hard to be hot, you guys.
Just, so hard. Nobody wants to bang me. Like,
I don't believe
it. No, I will say though, Sydney, I still remember the very first time I ever saw you at an open mic, and I thought, this is the most striking woman I have ever seen.
Wait, was it Eurovision?
No, it was at that place, Crocodile Lounge, Kristen Manna, and Redheaded Boys, Mike. I don't
oh
know.
Oh my God, that was so long ago.
That was truly like 5 or 6 years
yes.
ago now.
Yes, oh my God. Me and Marie would go to like all of the mics, the dustiest mics, and it's just like,
I remember, I don't know if you were coming or going to work, but I think you were in like a full cocktail dress. Like
She was not even working that day. She was off. That was just her Tuesday look for her.
And and it was like that dark, gross, like low ceiling, like, and it was truly like you just, and like all the sweaty, like backpack sweatshirt. It was like, and then Sydney, and you were so funny. I still remember you were very funny. You were talking, it was one, you were workshopping some of your old man.
Yes, my old rich guy
material.
Yes.
That's currently on Comedy Central.
You fucking slayed. And, but I truly remember seeing you go up and being like, she's not, well, she's confused. This is not the America's Next Top Model go see. This is an open mic.
Cindy's like, I just want to show you guys my book.
I had my comp card and everything.
She up there smizing and telling jokes, yes. And the dudes with the sweaty backpacks are like, why is she here?
So stupid. Yeah, but you know what? You're truly appreciated, Joel, in the comedy community.
We need
more people like you just living your life and not putting boundaries on your comedy or how you look.
That's the first 2 or 3 years in New York. It's like we all live this life of like work your 9 to 5, go and do 1 to 2 to 3 open mics and just like grind it out until 2 a.m. and then repeat. And that first year in New York, that was my life.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did it because it made me a better comedian, sure. Obviously. But like at a certain point, it's like, I'm so glad I have the bandwidth to have a life now outside
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, because a lot of comics, and maybe a lot is not the right amount, but there are a good number of comics, all they do is eat, sleep, breathe comedy. They don't even have jobs. They like sleep in a basement with a sheet as a door because they
and they think
want to
that, that makes them better. And they right. think that makes
and it's like, sis, you're just poor.
No.
And you're still not funny.
Marie.
And it's like, the thing is, like, I didn't.
This is why Marie has no friends.
And
you
I'm fine with that, sis.
I wrote some good ass jokes in the time when I was only eat, sleeping, breathing comedy. But the thing is like, when I started living a life, I had way more to talk about.
Talk about, yeah. It's just, and that's why I'm like, comedians, go out and hug your friends. Yeah. Not to, just be happy that they're talking about shit that has nothing to do with politics. Like, I love meeting somebody who just wants to talk about some upholstery right now. Like, if you want to talk about your couches and your carpet and your curtains, let's go.
Seriously?
Tell me,
that's what you want to talk about?
Put me on some new fabrics.
Sis.
I'm good with it.
Really?
Yes.
I'm learning so much about you right now.
I want to talk about some new stuff. I mean, everything that's going on in the world is stressful and it makes me frustrated.
I have one new friend in LA who is a lawyer and I'm like, I like cling to him like a life raft because I'm like, I just need someone who does not work in this industry, does not want to work in this industry and like does not want to talk about this industry.
You're like,
you
let's
know?
Talk about torts.
Exactly.
Let's talk about torts. So Joel, tell people who are listening where they can catch you. Like where are you at?
I am all over the web. All my handles are I Hate Joel Kim. If you're in New York, please come. I'm coming back for the New York Comedy Festival. I'm bringing my show, The Joy Fuck Club, which is a celebration. Yes. We did it. It's Clusterfest. Uh-huh. You were there. And it's an all-Asian lineup. We play games. We talk about sex and being Asian. And
where is the show going to be?
It's going to be at the Bell House, November 9th, 10 p.m. Look it up. The Joy Fuck Club. Bowen Yang, Patty Harrison, Ronnie Chang, Karen Shi. They're all going to be there.
Great lineup.
It's going to be a fucking blast. And if it doesn't sell out, I will be humiliated.
So guys, get those tickets. Get those damn tickets, y'all.
We got 400 tickets to sell. Come on.
Yes.
Buy a ticket. Buy two tickets. Yeah. Buy two tickets and then
please, don't all of you move to LA. It'll make my life so much easier.
Well, you know we're there regularly.
Yeah, I know. I see you. I see you at the Chinese food restaurant.
I mean,
is that where you be at, Marie?
Trying to get the Wi-Fi.
Is there Wi-Fi here?
Did we learn anything today?
I feel like we did. I feel like we learned more about Joel.
I learned that Joe will pull his pants down in a studio.
Yes, and you know how we've been reading off some of the reviews of our podcast?
Yes.
Well, we had somebody, her name is Barry, and she is a like ride or die listener.
Okay.
And she's like, well, a lot of the experts, you know, go on, they have the title and then their conversation has nothing to do. And I'm like, we trying something new, sis. Ride with us. Figure it out. You know,
Oh, Barry.
Barry.
She complained that we don't really be talking to the experts about what they experts in.
Barry. I think we did a good job of
that.
We talked a lot about LA.
Sydney, I wish you would have read the message verbatim so we could like really get Barry's thoughts on this.
No, Barry's a fan. You don't want to.
No,
Marie,
no. I wasn't going to read Barry. Just read the message. Because last week somebody messaged me and they were like, you guys need to stop talking over the guest, right? And so we read it up top and then we tried to be patient and like let people talk. And then immediately after the episode went up, somebody was like, keep interrupting the guests. Keep cutting them off. You guys are doing a great job. Yeah. And it's like, well, everything is, you know, people want different things.
Yeah, but now each episode I want to read like a review of somebody.
All right, well, we didn't do it this week.
Yeah,
so
we didn't.
We're going to
so
do
next
week.
We'll do it, yeah.
Anyway, Joel, we love you. We're going to do some poppers with you later.
Yes, we are. Well, I can't. I'll just watch you guys pop. I'll just be the supervisor of the poppers, you know? Oh, I'll hold them for you.
Yes, exactly. God.
Sydney is clocked in. Guys, don't forget to review, rate, and subscribe.
Yes,
we'll
please.
See you at our New York Comedy Festival show.
Oh, yes, November the 5th at Union Hall, 7:30. Please, please, please buy tickets. Yes. Please.
Except if you're that man.
Oh my God.
Do not. Stalker,
yeah. If you're the man that stalked me, you don't come.
Yeah. Flad or Fad? What was his name?
Fad.
Fad Baltimore. That's not even a real name.
Sound like a porn star with a big dick. Anyway, bye guys.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.